heart. When I think about change for downtown Oroville, I think of the heart of the business owners and their desire to see change and their investment. There's a lot of folks that have made quite the investment, in particular one business owner, Brian Wong, and he recently bought Miner's Alley, and he's doing tremendous renovations to that particular business. Also, this past year, a bid came along, a business improvement district. All of the businesses got on board with that, and they have made that investment. It used to be when the Downtown Business Association would meet, there was just a handful of people. Now the room is full. So these various business owners have decided that we're going to up the ante. We're going to invest in ourselves, invest in this downtown, and we're going to make it work. So I think it's that they see an opportunity, that they have a tremendous asset. Of course, the downtown business or the buildings down there are all historic, and they're beautiful buildings. So these folks have also made the endeavors to rehabilitate them. I think of Bud Tracy, what he did with the Oroville Inn. He completely renovated that facility, made it available to the Lineman College. And it's basically a dorm in the upstairs. But the downstairs has a lovely facilities for people to have banquets in. And it's just beautiful. So again, you know, you have a lot of investment and there's new people that are coming in. And so when you have that, it brings a renaissance, if you will. Of course, there's still a ways to go, but it definitely is going in the right direction.
Yeah, I've always thought that Oroville had really great bones, and that hotel is a historic hotel, and the renovation is beautiful. I know it's been used for different things in the past, but this is really spectacular. So most of the downtown businesses are pubs and restaurants and retail, if I observe it correctly. These have all been hit really hard by the closures. One reason I chose Oroville is because it is undergoing a renaissance, and then this COVID crisis comes roaring in unexpectedly. And how much has that jeopardized the forward movement in Oroville?
Well, I think like everyone else, there's pain. You know, no one has dodged that. But I think because we are in kind of the groundbreaking corner turning as a community that, for an example, when I talk about Miner's Alley was closed because of all the renovations that are going on. And that owner, his schedule for reopening that particular business with a big patio area, just a beautiful renovation. His original target date was, I think, end of June, first part of July. And so because you have renovations and a lot of projects going on, as much of Oroville really is in a process of rebuilding and reinventing itself. So in some ways, there's no good time for something like this to happen because we are in this process. I think that some businesses were actually poised to weather it better than maybe some other areas. In fact, we had just done a business confidence survey here, the Chamber did. And actually, Oroville, as far as the business community is concerned, when we look at the rest of the nation, there's a little bit more positivity here. But, you know, again, some of the other restaurants, for example, the Exchange, they did the curbside. Many restaurants had to resort to, you know, no dining in. And, you know, business is down, but I think that many of them are able to. And then again, joining the PPP program, I know a lot of our small businesses jumped on board with that. I just talked with the Mugshots downtown, a little coffee shop. They reported about a 50% downturn initially, but they said things are coming back. You know, it's painful, but it's not devastating. And I'm hopeful that, you know, things will come roaring back here in Oroville very soon.
It sounds like you haven't seen a lot of attrition at this point. You're not aware of many businesses that aren't going to be opening again after we're through this.
Of course, I'm sure that there will be some that will not survive. But again, Oroville is in this process of reinventing itself. You know, we have this huge $200 million hospital being built right now as we speak. And we have the big, huge, erector set metal skeleton up. And they did that in like a week. It's just amazing. And so there's a lot of construction. There's a lot of building going on. And a lot of the funding was already in the pipeline. Of course, you have those workers that are here already, scheduled. You know, that keeps things going because those dollars are in the pipeline. Those projects are in the pipeline. And so for a small community of 20,000 people, which is about our population, and you have projects of that size going on, it kind of keeps things ticking along.
Terrific. So we're coming into the summer season. Oroville, because of Oroville Lakes, an attractive outdoor recreation area, how much do you think tourism will help mitigate the downturn in economic activity locally?
That's a good question. I think the jury's still out on that. As you know, we have two casinos here locally that bring in a lot of outside business. Of course, they've been closed. Both this past week have reopened with limited activities at both properties. Both of them have large, high-quality RV parks, hotels. Just anecdotally, I see that at both of them, the RV parks have remained fairly full through this process. The lake, as you might know, that's all closed for camping. However, recently, state parks did reopen for day use. For an example, we had several fishing tournaments scheduled. Those have all been canceled. And of course, fishing tournaments bring in a lot of outside people from the North State and greater area. So that's an impact that is yet to be seen. We've been in the process of asking the state to allow those activities once again to happen. We've lost the tournaments. And then there was another issue with, for example, guiding service on the lake. We have fishing guides that bring in a lot of outside people, and they were shut down for some time. So there are certainly impacts that, you know, we have yet to see exactly how that's going to carry forward into the future. Additionally, the chamber, you know, we support a lot of things like the Salmon Festival. That's in question. Feather Fiesta Days did not happen. There's a lot of events here in the spring and early summer that did not happen. However, we're planning on doing the 4th of July at the Oroville Airport. And we're waiting for the final approval from the FAA. The City Council of Oroville had given their approval last night. And I think that's just going to be a great opportunity for our community to have some sense of normalcy with the 4th of July celebration. We can't congregate in any area. There's not any designated area. But out at the airport, we're going to be able to use some of the larger shells, the 10-inch shells that will launch these fireworks up at 1,000 feet. And so you're literally going to be able to view this display from all around the town and beyond. And so that's going to be a lot of fun. I think it'll just be a good sense of normalcy here that we can celebrate, you know, our country and what that means.
Great. So the good news is the state's beginning to reopen. However, slowly, it's different in different areas. On the other hand, we're by no means back to normal. High unemployment. We're in a really deep recession. We don't know how that's going to play out. If you were to categorize the state of the economy in Oroville right now, how would you describe it?
Yeah, so I'm looking at my business confidence survey, and this just rolled out here in May. Of our employers here locally, 12% are anticipating an increase in employment, and 67% are saying that it's going to stay the same. 21% are anticipating a decrease in employment. And so when you kind of just take those matrix and put them together, maybe a 10% downturn in employment overall, which is about half of what I just listened to this morning, the projections of some 20% unemployment nationwide. And so again, we're pretty resilient here. And again, because Oroville is in a state of renaissance, reinventing itself, rebuilding itself. And again, just going back, because a lot of these projects were already poised and in the pipeline pre-COVID, that we're just going to kind of build right on through this, keep moving right on through and come out the other side and think bigger, better, stronger than we did before, you know, this whole thing started. That's kind of what I'm thinking. It's a cautiously optimistic about the future. I mean, certainly we are all tied together as Californians and what affects one part of the state. You know, we're going to feel that. But I think as a local community, by and large, I think we're going to weather the storm.
Fantastic. Just as a point of personal interest, Eric, did you see much growth following the campfire? Were people moving in?
Housing has been an issue here in Oroville, and there just wasn't any. In fact, still, when you look at the real estate market, any property that is in movable condition still has snapped up pretty quick. And so we did see quite an upturn. So when it comes to the impacts of the fire and what happened in Paradise, you know, we were heavily involved as far as, you know, helping with the disaster relief recovery. The Hope Center, which is a nonprofit here, provided a lot of the services, you know, up there in Paradise. And of course, people had immediate housing needs. And so every move-in conditioned home here in Oroville was almost immediately snapped up. And so housing continues to be a challenge for our area. We have several projects coming. Reading, as you might be aware, of course, just had a boom up there. And one of their major developers is coming here to Oroville, and we're getting ready to break ground potentially on a 6-acre project for low-income housing. We have another 29-acre site that we're looking at for market rate housing. We have also 172 lots being built out at the Vista del Oro, which is out by the airport. The moment these things are available, people are buying them. And a lot of those people were from the Paradise area. And those things continue even through this whole COVID crisis. Real estate is still very strong in Oroville.
Yeah, housing, it's one of the great existential crises in California. Well, Eric, I think we've covered everything I need to cover. Is there anything you'd like to add?
I mean, I got a lot of stuff I could talk about, but I mean, as far as what you're looking for, probably not. I think we did well.
Maybe another time.
Yeah, certainly. Plenty of things I think that it would be in the public interest. So,
yeah. All right, Eric, well, thanks so much. Nice talking with you.